Now, friends, would you like to take from your prosperity kit your summary sheet? We have been getting reports all day long today of people who have been getting prosperity demonstrations from using these ideas. We said that you would begin to get prosperity demonstrations within 24 hours, and you've been doing it. Now, remember what we said last night, friends, that first we must open our mind to prosperity. This is the psychological law of prosperity, and that this one must come first. And then we talked last night about the cleansing laws of prosperity, which we said were the emotional laws of prosperity. Now, tonight we're going to be thinking about the creative laws of prosperity, how you can create your prosperity mentally first. Now, as we said last night, there are many success courses on the market today, and they are all good. Most of them cover this third section, the creative laws of prosperity. Most of them do not talk about the psychological laws of prosperity. Most of them do not talk about the emotional or the advanced laws of prosperity, which we will mention tomorrow night. Now, let's think about the creative laws of prosperity. First, you can create your prosperity mentally. Recently, I gave a lecture in New Orleans entitled, "You Can Have Everything." And after the lecture there had begun, a businessman came rushing into the auditorium, and he breathlessly said to an usher out in the foyer, "I hope I'm not too late because I'm here to get everything." Well, aren't we all? And we should open our mind to this idea that we can have everything, because as we said last night, we are the children of a rich universe. We are a child of fortune. Now, the way to get everything is by first thinking about it mentally. Some people have said, who have made a study of success, that success may be as much as 98% mental preparation and 2% outer action. Now, this may be a high percentage or a high estimate, but success may be as much as 98% mental preparation and 2% outer action, some experts feel. Most of us in the past have perhaps been conditioned to the idea that success was just the opposite, that it might be 2% mental preparation and about 98% outer action. And so it's an interesting idea that we must create our prosperity mentally first. And so tonight we're thinking of two of the ways that we can create our prosperity mentally first. You can create your prosperity mentally first in writing. And in this book we have a whole chapter, Open Your Mind to Prosperity, we have a whole chapter about creating your prosperity mentally first in writing. More than 15 years ago, when I began writing on the subject of prosperity, Richard and I were, as I said in some of my books, we were living in one room at that particular time when I first started writing the articles and working with the ideas before I had gotten into the book. We were living in one room. And we have often said in recent years that we might still be living in that one room if we had not begun finally to create our prosperity mentally first. And we found that this was a good way to begin, in writing. Now, the reason is this. When you begin to think about writing out what you want, you are beginning to get definite about prosperity so that prosperity can get definite about you. Now, man is a mental being and lives from the inside out through his mind, whether he's realized it or not. Often, because he has not realized it, life hasn't been too good for him, you see. But it's good to remind ourselves that we are mental beings. Man is a mental being and lives from the inside out through his mind. And so mental preparation is very necessary. And we must get definite about prosperity mentally so that prosperity can get definite about us. Now, it's an interesting idea to me that the creator of this rich universe, and we talked about this last night, is the source of our prosperity. We said last night, I am a child of the universe, I am a child of fortune, and because of this, I have a right to claim this heritage of unlimited abundance. So let's remind ourselves of that idea for just a moment. Let's just declare, I am a child of the universe, I am a child of fortune together. I am a child of the universe, I am a child of fortune. Now, we discovered 15 years ago that when we finally got down to business and began to get definite about what we wanted in our thinking, so that it could get definite about us, that we were able to get out of that one room rather quickly. But for a long time, we had been thinking that someone out here should do something about our situation. You say, why don't they do something to get us out of this one room? Why doesn't somebody out here solve this problem for us? And no one did, as long as we continued to think in that way. And so then finally it occurred to me, well, why don't we do something to solve this problem? And that was when we began to get definite in our thinking about what we wanted. And very quickly, changes came that were wonderful to get us out of that one room. But nothing happened until we got definite in our thinking. And so the creator of this rich universe has provided lavish abundance for us. We see it around us, and then we see it in the invisible realm, or we know it's around us in the invisible realm as ideas and opportunities. And so it's up to us, though, to take this invisible realm around us of ideas and opportunities and to shape them and form them through our definite thinking. And so it's good to realize that as a child of the universe and as a child of fortune, we are masters of this universe, you see. But it's up to us to claim this mastery. Now, we can claim this mastery and take control of this lavish universe that is already here and that which is around us as ideas and opportunities by getting very definite with deliberate thoughts, words, and actions. And as we become definite about prosperity in our thoughts, words, and actions, then it becomes definite about us. As we turn the great energy of our thinking upon ideas of plenty, we will have plenty regardless of what people about us are doing or saying. Now, remember what we said last night, that this was the theme of that first prosperity class in which so many people had fabulous things happen to them, right in the midst of supposed financial limitations. And so, friends, let's declare this idea for ourselves right here. I turn the great energy of my thinking upon ideas of plenty. You see, that's what we're doing here in this seminar. I turn the great energy of my thinking upon ideas of plenty. Together, I turn the great energy of my thinking upon ideas of plenty. And so we said that as we turn the great energy of our thinking upon ideas of plenty, we will have plenty, regardless of what people about us are doing or saying. All right, to help us realize this, would you look at number one on the front of your decree sheet? Number one under section two. I dissolve in my own mind and in the minds of all others any idea that my own can be withheld from me. No person, thing, or event in the universe. No person, thing, or event can keep that from me, which the universe has for me now. Let's take the whole statement together. I dissolve in my own mind and in the minds of all others any idea that my own can be withheld from me. No person, thing, or event can keep that from me, which the universe has for me now. And so as we turn the great energy of our thinking upon ideas of plenty and realize that no person, thing, or event can keep that from us, that which is for us, You see, as we get definite in our thinking about it, then this opens the way for abundance to come to us. Now, it is through writing and through picturing and through speaking prosperous words that our thoughts, words, and actions begin to work for us in prosperous and productive ways. And so the first way that we suggest to you that you get definite about prosperity, so that prosperity can get definite about you, is by simply taking your decree sheet and opening it to the inside section there, to number two, where it says, write out what you want to manifest or to experience in your life. Get definite about prosperity, in other words, by sitting down and making a list of the good things you want to experience in life. Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was a great success teacher at the turn of the century, once said this: sit down at a certain time every day and write down on paper what your ideas of good are. You will find that such a practice will pin your mind down to the truth and you will get results. Another eminent success teacher and metaphysician was Dr. Emmett Fox, and he said that this is the way to alter your life. By writing out what you want to experience in life, this is the way to alter your life. Now remember this, friends, if you do not do this, if you do not get definite about what you want in this way, if you just drift along without any decision or definite purpose or goals, you will become the helpless victim of circumstances. If your desires are not clear and definite, you become subject to the dominating personalities of people around you. You become subject to the stronger minds around you and what they're thinking about. And you'll find yourself simply manifesting in your life what somebody else around you wants, simply because they know what they want and you don't. And so your mind becomes a broadcasting station through which their definite ideas come to pass. Now, the way to overcome this and the way to overcome difficulties is to set a goal. Begin to get definite about what you want. And to do it by writing it out. Just don't just carry it around intangibly in your mind, but write it out. Now, perhaps you've had this experience at some time in your life. Have you ever, at some point in your life, become subject to the stronger ideas of someone about you who knew what they wanted when you weren't thinking about what you wanted, and so you found yourself getting what they wanted for them? One of the stories I like to tell, and Richard doesn't seem to mind my telling this story, is about the time several years ago before he went in the Air Force, when I looked out of the window in our front yard and realized that the two sports cars that were parked in our front yard were both the result of Richard's definite ideas about what he wanted and liked in cars. Now, I had never had any preference to cars, but like most men, Richard knew exactly what he liked in cars. The result was that not only was he driving a sports car equipped for racing, but would you believe it? I was driving one too, equipped for racing. And so remember this, if you do not know what you want, and if you have no set purpose, your subconscious mind just produces a conglomeration of circumstances. This is why there is so much confusion in the lives of passive people. You know, we say, I can't understand why that person has so many problems. They're so nice. They're so passive. They never cause anybody any trouble. All right. These are people, again, you see, that don't know what they want. And because they don't, their minds, either they find themselves manifesting what someone else around them wants, or else their subconscious mind just produces a conglomeration if there's no one around them with strong ideas. And so this is why there is so much confusion in the lives of passive people. We should concentrate or think about a thing long enough And as we do, then we're sure to get it. But always have a definite goal in mind and write it down. Never let yourself drift unless you want to end up with two race cars parked in your front yard with racing equipment on them the way I did. Now, someone asked me one time what I did about those two race cars. Well, it worked out very nicely because I suddenly realized that it was all right for Richard to have a race car, but I wasn't interested. So I kept blessing the race car I had, and pretty soon Richard went in the Air Force, and then I just gently got rid of mine, you see. I never got any more. Got what I wanted. But it's great for people around us to know what they want, and we want this. We want our families and friends and people around us to know what they want. And we release them to use their mind power to manifest it. But in like manner, we claim our freedom, you see, to manifest what we want too, because this is our heritage, to use mind power in our own lives to create that which we want and that which is right for us. Now, there is a specific reason why you should get definite about what you want. So often people say, well, I'm not sure whether I should have this or not. Maybe I'm asking for too much, or maybe I'm not asking for the right thing. Remember this, that the word desire in its root means of the Father. In other words, any deep-seated desire you have is a divine desire. It is a universal desire for greater good. And it is the universe's good pleasure to give it to you, or to give you that or something better. And it should be your good pleasure to receive it. Now, the way that you can test your desires is this. If the desires you have are strictly surface desires, they'll pass away. But go ahead and write them on your list, because this helps to clear them up, and this helps to clear the air about them. If they're deep-seated desires for greater good, then those are the desires that will remain with you until they manifest. They are divine desires. They're universal desires. And so you should express them constructively rather than suppressing them destructively. And you see, when we keep thinking about things and then push it back in our mind and say, oh no, that's too good for me, or that could never happen to me, then we are suppressing a universal desire. And it's going to lead to a frustration within us. And sooner or later, we'll have to cope with it. And so it is good to express your desires constructively rather than suppressing them destructively. And the way to do it is by making the list. Simply put on your list. Recognize that at this point, you feel you would like to have this particular thing or blessing, whether it's a tangible or intangible one. All right. Also remember that desire, deep-seated desires, are universal. It is the universe trying to give you greater good. So open your mind to receive it. Then get definite by writing it out so that it can manifest for you in whatever form is best. All right, right now, let's just declare from last night. I open my mind to prosperity together. I open my mind to prosperity. Since we are thinking of making a list, let's just declare, I dare to prosper together. I dare to prosper. Yes, good. Now, friends, remember that choice produces results. And again, you see, if we do not choose something positive and constructive through the sin of omission, we are choosing problems, confusion, lack, limitation, and so that's what will come to us. And so we're using choice at all times, either deliberate choice for something better or choice through the sin of omission, through choosing nothing and therefore getting all kinds of confusion and lack and limitation in our lives. Choice produces results. Your mind constantly produces what you choose. That's the power of writing out what you want. Now, there's an ancient secret about the power of writing out what you want, and I've talked about it in this book, Prosperity Secret of the Ages, and the old secret is this. Your definite written words dissolve all obstacles and barriers on the visible and invisible planes of life. Think about it. by writing out what you want to bring into your life, by putting it in writing, your definite written words dissolve all obstacles and barriers on the visible and invisible planes of life. Your written words go out into the ethers of this universe to work through people, circumstances, and events to open the way for your desired good to come to pass. It's an incredible thing, the way this idea of writing out what you want works. An artist proves this. She had an oil painting that had not been sold after having been on display for months at various art shows in her hometown. And people in her hometown said, well, you know, either that painting is too big or too small, it's too modern or it isn't modern enough, it's too bright or it isn't bright enough, you're charging too much or not enough, and so on. Everyone had a different idea about what was wrong with her painting. And this was a very successful artist, and her paintings usually sold right away. But she didn't accept any of these mixed up ideas and opinions of all of her friends. And finally, she realized that perhaps the reason this painting had never sold, she had never put it on her list that she wanted it to sell. So in her list making, on October the 11th, she made her list. And she wrote on this list that she would like for this painting to sell quickly at the price that she was asking, because she felt that was the right price, not too high, not too low. Now, an interesting thing happened. 2 days later, on October the 13th, she received a long-distance call informing her of an art show in another city. The caller was requesting pictures from her to display at that art show. She immediately sent the oil painting that was on her list. It sold as priced the day the show opened. Now, here was a painting that had not sold for months. 2 days after she wrote it out on her list, she got the phone call and it sold in another city. All right. Remember the ancient secret concerning the power of writing. Your definite written words dissolve all obstacles and barriers on the visible and invisible planes of life. Your written words go out into the ethers of this universe to work through people, circumstances, and events to open the way for your desired good to come to pass. Psychologists tell us that most things are done by choice, that choice produces results, but that it is up to us to choose what we want. And we should do it because we are children of the universe, and this is our heritage. All right? Choice produces results. Let's declare it together. Choice produces results. I am a child of the universe. I am a child of fortune. Let's declare it again together. I am a child of the universe. I am a child of fortune. Remember the story I told you last night of the man who became very wealthy in an easy way and in a quiet way by declaring this idea over and over. I am a child of the universe. I am a child of fortune. All right, there was the power of choice, you see. Choice produces results, and that was what he chose, and that was the result that came. After I had first written about this prosperity technique, and many people have, but after I first wrote about it in Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, and we have a whole chapter in this book, too, on the idea, a businessman from Philadelphia wrote me an interesting letter just to verify this success method. He said that he had once been asked by a large corporation to give 92 of their top executives a success course. And this company paid him something like $2,000 to conduct this course, this success course. And in this course, the executives were asked to write out the things that they wanted to experience in life. He asked them to do this very thing. Now, the results, he said, that followed were very interesting. He said, miracles happened. everyone was healed of health problems, even of incurable diseases. Well, whoever heard of getting a healing, especially from a supposedly incurable disease, by simply writing it on your list? And yet he said it happened in that group of executives. Out of 92 men, all but two said they had gained vast good. 90 out of 92, you see. All of these men got raises in pay of from $2,000 to $20,000 a year from this method. Health problems, prosperity, and personality problems were all solved by using this list-making method by these 92 top executives. Now you say, well, it almost seems too good to be true. That's right. Because the prosperous truth is too good to be true to the average person who is used to the hard work level of supply. Now, the hard work level of supply is the lesser level. The more you learn these inner laws of prosperity, the more you learn to do what we're talking about here tonight, to create your prosperity mentally first. And remember that your prosperity and your success may be as much as 98% mental preparation and 2% outer action. Recently, one of my readers, who is a psychologist, sent me an excerpt from a book about the psychology of poverty that was very interesting. And the psychology of poverty is this. The poor are so caught up in their present problems that they do not plan ahead or think ahead. Also, they have great hostility and envy toward people who prosper and succeed. The poor are inclined to be suspicious and resentful toward those who succeed in life. All right, what about ourselves? None of us are on a poverty program. But how do we measure up to this psychology of poverty? What about ourselves? Are we so wrapped up in problems of the past or present that we have not taken time to plan for better things? Or are we hostile and envious toward people around us who succeed? Do we criticize them? Have we made unkind remarks about them? How do we feel and how do we react when someone around us has something good happen to them? Can we take it, for instance? You know, in the news recently, Howard Hughes has been quoted as saying many things, but I find it very interesting that in this success philosophy of his, supposedly, that he has talked about this idea of mass envy and of mass hostility toward wealth. There is something to it, because any time that you begin to succeed and prosper in life, you may be a little startled and a little surprised to experience a little envy or a little hostility, perhaps from people that you thought would cheer you on. And so it seems to be a general reaction to people, this psychology of poverty and of failure. Now, remember this, friends, if you have found yourself guilty of reacting negatively to people around you who were prospering and succeeding perhaps more than you were, remember this, that sometimes we're tested. Sometimes the good that we desire in life seems to come to people around us first. Now, if we can praise and give thanks for someone else's good rather than being envious and jealous and critical, then we can be assured that those same blessings or even greater ones are on the way to us. But if we make unkind remarks or hostile toward or envious of other people's good, then we fail the test. And we can stop our own good from getting through to us. Now, a statement that we often use to help us to dissolve envy and hostility and jealousy and criticism, whether it's been reflected toward us or from us, is this. Love envieth not. The prospering truth has set me free to prosper. It's a marvelous idea. Love envieth not. the prospering truth has set me free to prosper. Let's declare it together. Love envieth not. The prospering truth has set me free to prosper. All right, now let's give each other this blessing. Love envieth not. The prospering truth has set you free to prosper. Together. Love envieth not. The prospering truth has set you free to prosper. Now, friends, the thing to remember is this. As you view the blessings and the good things that happen to other people, remind yourself that the longer your good is in coming, the greater it will be when it comes. So why envy anyone else their good? Their good wouldn't suit you or satisfy you anyway. Instead, when good things happen to other people, it is an indication that that same good or even greater good is on its way to you. So don't stop it with some type of negative reaction, you see. Don't bother to be envious or jealous or critical about someone else's good. Don't block your channels that way. But know that any good thing that you hear about happening to someone else is an indication it's getting pretty close to you, or you wouldn't have even heard about it, you see? And so your good is on the way. Don't stop it. But remember the statement, love envieth not. The prospering truth has set me free to prosper. And so make your list. And as you make your list, friends, we talked last night about the elimination list. Now we're talking about the second one, writing out what you want to bring into your life tonight. As you make your list, think about what you really want, not what somebody else wants you to have. Make your list and realize that it's already on the way to you by the time you even desire it, you see? And so writing it out helps to bring it into visibility. A businessman up in Illinois one time wrote me a long letter, and he said this business of writing a list of those things that you feel you need in your life works. I have done just that, and success became apparent almost instantly. Since then, everything I have had on my list has come to me. Some of the items were tremendous things, such as an early retirement, so that I might become a public speaker. I am now a lecturer for business groups at $250 a lecture. I also listed an adequate income so that my life might continue normally as before retirement. Even such personal items that I wanted as an expensive travel trailer, a fine motion picture camera, and other such items have come to me. Now, you may say, well, this all sounds rather simple and rather childish to me. And you may say, but why are these simple techniques necessary from a mental standpoint? Well, remember this, friends, that the mind of man must look outward as well as inward for balance. The mind is the blending area of one's thoughts and feelings. And you must balance the inner with the outer. That is why we are all here, you see, in a physical form, is to blend the inner and outer phases of our being. Now, to me, there's nothing more pathetic than to see those misguided people who think that they are too advanced, as they say, mentally and so on, to use mind power in such practical ways. Now, again, such people can often give you a lot of high-flung theory, but often such people become confused. They suffer all kinds of needless problems because they aren't balanced. They aren't doing any of these simple things to externalize that mind power, to release it as results and balance in their world. And so dare to do the simple things that lead to prosperity. Make your list of what you really want, not what somebody else thinks you should have. And as you make your list, dare to please only yourself. There is a mystic saying that I like to use and like to think about when I make my list. And the mystic saying is this: the highest is the nearest. The highest good is the nearest good. So do not compromise as you make your list. And don't list what somebody else around you thinks you can have or that you should settle for. But let this be a very private thing that you do. And then keep your list private, friends. Keep it a secret, even. Because it is in this way that you express constructively rather than suppressing destructively your desires for greater good, which are from the universe. Now, the interesting thing about this list making is this. The very act of list making clears your mind and clears your life. It resolves things for you. For instance, recently I made a list of three things that I thought I wanted to experience in my life within a six-month period. 6 months later, when I looked at my list, I was amazed how it had worked out. The first item on my list had come to pass. It was by far the most important one. The second item had not come to pass, and events indicated that the answer to that desire was no for the time being. And so I just dismissed it in peace, feeling that it would come later, and it did come later at the right time. As I looked at the third desire on my list, I realized that I had changed my mind completely within that 6 months period, and I simply did not want it, and it had not come. And so one came then, the second one came later, the third one never came because I had changed my mind. But you see, I had been carrying these things around mentally. When I put them on paper, then they began to work out and resolve themselves in the right way. Now, you can test this list-making by using it on a daily basis, even. A young insurance executive one time said this, "I have bogged down. I now sell more than $1 million worth of insurance each year, and I am a member of the president's club of my company. But I want to sell at least $2 million worth of insurance this next year and go on from there." And he said, "For several years I've tried to do this, and I can't seem to get over the million mark." Now, I suggested to him that he do several things. First, that he begin going to his office an hour earlier each morning, or else go into a quiet area at home, but to do it early, before his secretary arrived at the office, or before the telephone started ringing, or before there was activity in the home, and so on. And that in that early morning hour, he should do this very thing. He should write out a list of the things he wanted to accomplish just for that day. Just for that day. And then I suggested that he use some type of prosperity statement, such as we have on our list here. Now, a week later, he telephoned me, and he said, "It works." He said, "I can hardly believe how much I have accomplished this week, easily and peacefully. In one day alone, I sold two $50,000 policies, and now I have an appointment to make the biggest sale of my life." He said, "If this keeps up, I am well on the way to my $2 million goal for the year." And later I saw him, and later he did make his $2 million goal for the year. But nothing began to work out until he started writing out his list just for one day, you see. Getting definite about one day's accomplishment. And so there are many ways that we can use these ideas. After you make your list, friends, of what you would like to experience in your life, then be ready and willing to change that list as the days pass and as your mind goes to work. Be flexible, be adaptable,